darkness, you see a great light. For those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. For to us, a child is born. To us, it's given. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince.
Leading the study in the book of Ruth. And we all know what what Boaz was like before he was married, right? He was ruthless. Yeah, we got that figured out there. So that's at 9:30 this Tuesday. And if you haven't gotten the book, I mean, you can talk to Cheryl. And I know there's some that did her books and some that haven't. That's fine. So just keep that in mind. Tuesday at 9:30, and then it's followed by a prayer group that meets at 11 o'clock at the, in the library, and everyone is welcome to be part of that as well. Yeah, I see kids way back there in the fellowship hall. McKenna. And is that Jordan? It's Jordan. I think the Leah went that way. I just want you to know I see you, and I'm glad that you are here. Wednesday is the ladies are going to a women's luncheon at El Mariachi. If you don't know where that's at, talk to somebody who does. El Mariachi, I believe, is in Spirit Lake. Used to be Old Remington, right? Those of you that remember Old Remington, I know. But that's where it says. It's kind of like across from High Beef, on the other side of the street there. We have a luncheon there at 11:30, and then Thursday, lunch with a bunch. You know, we're trying to get another study in. The snow that keeps coming, and the fog, and the ice, and the rain. Good grief. Or do I say good grief?
Okay. Do you think that maybe you're trying to teach the wrong stuff on Thursday, since you
right.
Haven't put it off?
No, I blame it on the weather. We've only met twice, introduction and then lesson one, so we're going to do lesson two this Thursday from noon to 1 o'clock, and we're pretty punctual. Just so if you know that, if you want to bring a lunch, you can. You don't have to. It's completely up to you to do that. Next Saturday, just want you to know that if you're interested in membership or just have questions about Harbor of Joy, I'd be more than glad to meet with you on this coming Saturday at 9:30. Saturday, and just come. I don't know who's coming, but if you're interested, just got questions, it's a good time to do that. I'd be more than glad to try to answer the questions I can. If I can't answer the questions, I will find the answers and get them back to you, whatever that may be. And so, just be mindful that the council decided to hire Amy Johnson. Amy is right here. Wave your hand, Elise. Julia, a step of faith for us at Harbor of Joy. She will be kind of in charge of the Wednesday after school program with reaching the kids who come from 3:30 to 5 o'clock. And of course, the real goal with Amy, too, and it's her heart as well, she wants to do something with the kids as well as with their parents. And that's kind of direction that we will be going, and we're glad that she has that same kind of a heart for that. And so just be in prayer for her as she begins here sometime. You know when you're going to begin? Sometime soon?
Yeah.
Okay, sometime soon. I don't know what that means, but soon.
So we can start to get on the February 1st. So.
They do. The first Wednesday of February they start. Okay, good. Well, thanks. And the very last thing is we've got four new widows in our congregation from last year. And some of you have been widows for a while. You know what it's like to go through not having your husband around. He did things that you have no idea what they were. But I just want you to know that we care about you as a church. If there's something that you don't know what to do or how to do it, there are people here in this church that know how to do those kinds of things. You know, something simple. Sometimes, how do you hold up we put gas in the car. You know, it used to be so easy. You just go out and flip it open. Well, now you got to find a button somewhere to do that. Or if it's just changing a furnace filter. That could be something you have no idea what that's about. It could be moving snow. I mean, guys would be willing to shovel snow. Greg, I know you would. You're a good shovel. But But you know, those are just ways we can help. We want to be help to you. And if you call the church office needing some assistance, I just want you to know that there is someone that we can get a hold of that will come to your place and help you with that. Or teach you how to protect your kids. So just, I'm just thinking of Ben, if you are interested in helping out, let me know or let Charlie know, call the church office, just so we have some guys that we know that if you call in and you don't say no. We want guys that will say yes. That can help. So that's all the announcements for today. I know some of you have struggled with not feeling well. I have some prayer requests in our bulletin as well, but we're just glad that you are here after a long bout of sickness or cough or whatever it is. Because there's many here that are struggling. So we're going to just pray for you and those that are in our prayer list here this morning as well, that they're dealing with different things as well too. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together here this morning. Thank you for the safe trip up to Garrison, North Dakota and back here. And Lord, I just thought it would be an easy piece of cake drive, but it wasn't both ways. It was quite couples. You know, it's good to be back here, and it's good to be here with the church family. I'm glad to see everyone else here today. Lord, we pray for those that have been struggling with some health issues. Whatever they may be, we have a whole list of different kinds of issues dealing with people. Lord, we just want them to know that we care about them, love them, and we bring them before the throne of grace, that we know that, Lord, your touch and how you answer prayer is remarkable, and we believe prayer is the way in which we touch people's lives. There may be some not in the prayer requests here today. People here today that say, well, I could sure use prayer for this or for that. Lord, you know what that, who they are, what the prayer request is. We bring that before you as well. So thank you for being alive. Thank you for listening to our prayers. Thank you for putting up with us. Thank you that you want to give to us the gift of salvation to all who will come and to believe in Jesus as their personal Savior. Today be that day if it has not been done already in their lives. So we just commit it to your hands, all that takes place today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to make a quick reminder just about the community table on February 9th. It's a Thursday night. And we as a congregation will be serving. They've been providing for food. I have people that have said that they bring waters and cookies, and I have the meat is taken care of, and our some other things. Still looking for somebody to help us serve 50 people for selling is what we're looking for. And I'll keep you posted from there, I guess. Community table is at the Bible conference grounds. That's where they do that every month. And so February is our month.
So, yeah. Thank you, Lisa. I forgot all about that.
That's what you're doing.
Good.
Thanks for
watching.
I still like
you. One of the songs that we've been doing for the month is Living Hope. And there was 5 Sundays in this month. So we will sing it today and then also next Sunday. We had the Bible conference, and Phil Wickham and Brian Johnson wrote the song called Living Hope.
Thank you.
Scott's reading today comes from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Whom shall I fear?
Do you fear? The Lord is a stronghold. Therefore, we do not need to fear. He is a stronghold of my life.
Whom shall I be afraid?
When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me,
they will stumble and fall.
One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord for all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his bosom. He will guide me in the shelter of his tabernacle, and set me high upon a rock.
Thank you.
4, verses 12 through 17. Matthew 4, 12 through 17. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words that are before us today. We pray that there be an epiphany here today, that it be something that we leave with that we never saw before, something that you reveal to us through your word today. May that be the case, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Matthew, we'll be kind of going through the book of Matthew this coming year. And I just want you to know a little bit about Matthew is that he's, as he thinks about what he's going to write in his gospel of Matthew, he's thinking of his audience. And his audience are Jewish people. So he's thinking of those who are Jews, and that's what he needs to speak to. And he himself is a Jew himself, but his name was Levi before he got the name Matthew. And he was a tax collector. And he's the one that Jesus chose to be one of the 12 disciples. And so we're going to follow what he has to say in his gospel writing. And we know that the Jews would often know what was in the Old Testament. They don't believe in the New Testament because it's written in Greek. But they believe in the Old Testament because it's written in their tongue, which is Hebrew. And so by speaking to his audience, the Jewish audience, he's got to make sure that he wants them to see that Jesus is the promised Messiah that the Old Testament prophets talked about. And that's his whole concern here, is that for the Jewish people, that they know that Jesus is the one that they've been waiting for. He's the Messiah. Now we know that all Jews do not believe in the New Testament because it's written in Greek. You've got the Orthodox Jews today, and you've got the Messianic Jews. The Messianic Jews believe in the New Testament. The Orthodox ones would be just believing in the Old Testament. There's a real tension there that still exists there today. But as we look at Matthew, we find that he tells us that Jesus' ministry started when? When did Jesus' ministry really start? It's okay to talk. Yeah, at his baptism. How old was Jesus at about the time he was baptized? About 30, yeah. And so that is the beginning of his ministry. And then we find that following his baptism, of course, you saw Jesus there. You saw what looked like the dove coming down from heaven, landing on him or lighting on him. And then you heard a voice from heaven, who's God's voice, that said, "This is my son, whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Follow him." And so after he's baptized, it says then that the Holy Spirit led him where? Took him out into the desert, where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Fasting means you don't eat anything. I don't know how he did it, but that's why he's God. Didn't drink anything. And then he is tempted. We got recordings of 3 temptations by the devil when he's out in the desert. The first one had to do with, you can about imagine, after 40 days and 40 nights of not eating, the very first temptation was one, turn these rocks into what? Into bread. And so that is Satan or the devil himself tempting Jesus and comes to him at his weakest time and says, hey, turn these rocks, if you're really the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Now, you know how good fresh made bread smells like in a house, don't you? Put a little butter on that hot bread. Good stuff. The second test, Satan comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, notice he's always saying, if you are the Son of God, then he wants him to do something. He says, he took him up to the top of the temple, and he said, okay, now just jump. Throw yourself off the temple. And he uses scripture and saying, like, well, the angels from heaven will protect you, type of a thing. But he does not jump. He again says to the devil, we'll get to that in just a little bit, but there's a third test, is this one. He takes Jesus to a high place and he says, everything you see, all these kingdoms that you see, they will be yours if only you bow down and worship me. Again, the devil is trying to make Jesus do something. If Jesus would obey the devil when he said just one time, he could not be your Savior or mine. He would have sinned. But in each of the three temptations, he says to Satan, he says to the devil, he says, it is written. Referring to the word of God, he says, this is what we are, what I have to do. This is what God's word says. It is written. And so then we find in Luke's account, chapter 4, verse 13, is that after this temptation with Jesus, this encounter with Satan, it says here that the devil left him waiting for another opportune time to go after him. It's as if the devil has moved on from there to John the Baptist. And like, you can't do nothing with Jesus. Well, how about this John the Baptist guy? Now, this is a cousin to Jesus. And we find that John the Baptist, we find him where? In our text. You want to remember the title for the message today? They all start with P's. He's in prison. John the Baptist is in prison. Why is he there? Why is he in prison? Do you know? You know, he is preaching. And he had to tell the truth. And he said it to the wrong person, who was Herod. Herod's lovely wife, Herodias. Or was that the name of his daughter, Herodias? Anyway. But I mean, she gave a really nice hula dance. And it was somebody's birthday or big party, and they all went like, woohoo! And the king said, I'll give you whatever you ask. And so she runs over to her mother, and her mother says, give me John the Baptist's head on a silver platter. Which that's what she got. So John the Baptist is in prison. We look at Matthew chapter 11. It is John, while he's in prison, he asked his disciples to go to Jesus and ask Jesus, is he really who he says he is, or is there someone else coming? I just want you to know that the connection here is this. Do you really believe in Jesus as the Messiah? Do you really believe in Jesus as the one who will come to you and help you whatever your need may be? John the Baptist, of all people, one who even said, here is the Lamb of God, behold, or look, here's the one who's come to take away the sins of the world. It is he who makes that proclamation to Jesus as he comes to the Jordan River. And now as he's in prison, he's wondering if Jesus is really who he says he is. that he himself has proclaimed to other people. It seems like the devil likes to come after us when we are alone. Prison can be something that isn't just a place with bars on the windows or on the door. But you can have a prison that you yourself have made by making bad decisions in life. And you can be kind of feeling like I'm behind bars or I can't get over something. You sing the song that we just sang together this morning. It was like, you know, God is able to break the chains. He's been able to open the door. He's going to be able to help you, whatever your prison may be here this morning. He can let it out. He can destroy that. He can make you a victor and set you free because of his truth. John the Baptist, when he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When Jesus hears this, this is what he says back to John the Baptist. He says, "Well, take this message back to your boss. Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the one who does not fall away on account of me." So what's Jesus really saying to John the Baptist with that little report, that message that his disciples bring back to him? He says, like, "Don't give up, John. I am who I am. I'm on your side." Notice that Jesus doesn't drop everything and goes to where John the Baptist is being held in prison. I find that a real mystery. And yet Jesus just does what he is supposed to be doing. And what happens to John the Baptist is that he ends up being killed. Beheaded. And Jesus never went there to try to set him free or to get him out of there. He kind of just said, "Well, John the Baptist has come and has accomplished his mission." Which when he is the one who went out into the remote places and proclaimed that people need to be baptized and to repent of their sins. He was preparing the people for God's kingdom that will come to them. And God's kingdom is going to come to every one of us who are here today. Every one of you that's here today, one day you're going to be faced with God's kingdom. Do you know that? Are you going to go into God's kingdom? Or will you be, are you going to hear the words, "I never knew you. Away from you, you evildoers. Or evildoer." I hope it's not that. I hope that's not what you hear. That's why Jesus is so important. We find that there's prophecy that goes along with this text here today. And we go back to the old prophet is Isaiah, who had lived about 600-700 years before this. And he's making the prophecy here that comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali." Now, did you know who Zebulun and Naphtali were in the beginning? Who's Zebulun and Naphtali in the beginning? They are the sons of Jacob, who later become, you know, Israel becomes made up of 12 tribes. Zebulun and Naphtali then were given land in the northern part of Israel. And guess where Zebulun and Naphtali is? Just to the west of the Sea of Galilee, and it includes the Sea of Galilee, but the town of Nazareth is in there. And it says here that the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. A light has come into Zebulun and Naphtali. And you know what that light is? It's Jesus. He came to Nazareth. It is Him speaking the good news, having your sins forgiven. And He came to be who He has always claimed to be, the Son of God. Remember a couple of weeks ago I mentioned that the people who lived in that area of Israel, from those who lived in Jerusalem, they looked at those who lived up around the Sea of Galilee as second-class citizens. They weren't as pure as those that were in Jerusalem. And so you have Jesus, who grew up in Nazareth, would be looked upon as kind of like, did anything good come from Nazareth? It's a place where there's second, the people there are just different, and they're just not as good as us that live in Jerusalem. And that's where Jesus lived. And where was His ministry at most of the time? It was around the Sea of Galilee, in that area. It's basically at the end of His life where Jesus starts going toward the south to Jerusalem, and He knows what's going to happen to Him there, even though His disciples don't believe Him. So prophecy is fulfilled by Jesus living in Nazareth as well as moving His headquarters of ministry to Capernaum, which is right along the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. And it is there where He begins to choose His disciples. And we won't get into that here today. But I do want us to take a look at what did Jesus do? He's basically doing the same thing that John the Baptist preached. He preaches the same thing. Repent. Do you know what that means? Repent. It's a turn. As you're walking away from God, you turn back to God, and you let God have His way in your heart and in your life. We are so good. We're so prone to wander away. And you could be here today and have wandered a long ways away from God. You know who He is. You talk about Him, but you're not living for Him. God wants you to come to Him and to walk with Him, not to go the other direction. That direction will take you not to heaven. More likely to take you to hell because you rejected Jesus. So Jesus is preaching the same message that John the Baptist preached. Repent, and the kingdom of heaven is near. Interesting that Jesus says the same thing. As people went out to hear John the Baptist, now they're going to hear it from a different voice, but the same message. Because Isaiah said that there will be one who will come, and He will tell you, and He's going to be a different kind of a guy, but you will know when He's there. John the Baptist was a different kind of a preacher, wasn't he? He didn't go into Jerusalem to find Him preaching in some synagogue or some nice building. If you wanted to hear Him preach, you had to go out to the Jordan River, which was a ways away from Jerusalem. And what you would hear, He then would invite you to, okay, it's time to get baptized. You need to repent from your sins, and God is ready to forgive you today. The religious leaders were there too, but they never went into the water that I'm aware of. They were just there out of curiosity. They did not like John the Baptist. Just like people today do not like Jesus Christ. Because Jesus will change your heart and change your life. And He's the only one that can forgive you of your sin. So we have here within our text, there is a prison. Where if you are in a prison, you know, you've got to have patience. There are going to be times of being alone in our lives. This is going to happen. Norma, do you know a little bit what that's like? Not having Elmer around. Jan, you know, it's like not having a neighbor. No, it's Vicky. Oh. Now your neighbors, right? Are you neighbors?
Linda Barry, she's a dentist.
Oh, yes. I'll see you. That's what happens when you're gone. You just disconnect. And I'm having a disconnection right now. But yeah, I've been with the dentist, yeah. But it's a lot different, isn't it? Being alone. When you never thought that that was going to happen. Having patience, which is a hard thing to have. You don't always want to be. You'll probably find out how patient we really are. But the Lord says we're to wait on Him, even in the time of death. We wait on Him. And as a former chaplain with hospice, being with people who are on the brink of death, not all of them, but some of them, they just say, how much longer is this going to take? I go, I don't know. Sometimes dying can be a real struggle. It doesn't happen just bang like that. Sometimes it can, but sometimes it can be, it goes on and on before it happens. Prophecy is the good news. It's the great light that came when people heard the gospel. And of course, the preaching goes along. We preach the gospel, the same message that Jesus preached. So did John the Baptist. And so we find that John the Baptist, even though his life ended by losing his head and being served on a platter, his message was to be prepared for God's kingdom. There was an urgency there. Have you repented? Have you believed in Jesus as your Savior? Because John the Baptist revealed to the people that Jesus is the Son of God. He takes away the sins of the world. You and I are in this world, which we are. That's good news. He will take away our sins. He will forgive us too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have heard your voice today, or we have felt your nudge. We can be sitting here today and probably not feel very good because we know that there's something not right with us. In my stomach, in my heart, there's sin that I don't want to give up. I know it's wrong. So it's a real struggle right now to know what to do, even though I know what I should do. So, Lord, I trust you. You know that I do. And I come today asking you to forgive me of my sin. Forgive me. And come into my heart, come into my life, and give to me what I cannot give. Do so right now. Even as we're static in this microphone. You hear me? You know that? Come, forgive me. And then Jesus prayed the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Please stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Remain standing for the benediction. Be seated as Bob will play the song before we go here today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Take a seat.
Go and be concerned.